What do Babe Ruth, Willie Mays, and Reggie Jackson all have in common?
They all hit over 500 home runs.
Yes, but what else?
They're all in the Hall of Fame?
All right, so they have a lot of things in common. But for this podcast, what do they all have in common? They all played at baseball's oldest ballpark. We're going to Birmingham, Alabama, to Rickwood Field on this week's episode of Ballpark Road Trip. This is Ballpark Road Trip. If you're listening to this podcast, you like ballparks, or you're planning on visiting a ballpark sometime in the future. Well, you've come to the right place. Here on the show, we will be traveling around to each major league city, talking to locals who know their home ballparks inside and out. Hello, and welcome to Ballpark Road Trip. I'm your host, Jacob Russell Snyder, and today we have a special episode for you. We are going to be talking about a ballpark that is older than any of the ballparks on this list, and also, at the time of this recording in June 2024, the newest park to host a Major League Baseball game. We are talking about Rickwood Field in Birmingham, Alabama. Later on in the program, I'll be talking to Skylar Jones, who was at Rickwood for the game between the St. Louis Cardinals and the San Francisco Giants. That was a tribute to the Negro League, as well as a celebration of baseball legend Willie Mays, who passed away days before the game. Coincidentally, I first learned about Rickwood Field when I was 10 years old. That's when I read Say Hey, the autobiography of Willie Mays. He talks extensively about his time in the Negro League, playing for the Birmingham Black Barons, but it was in the picture section in the middle of the book, this black and white picture of the outer facade of Rickwood Field. And by this point, I was already a ballpark fanatic, and this was as cool as a facade as Old Comiskey, or Wrigley, or Fenway, or Tiger Stadium. So I've always known what Rickwood Field looks like. It wasn't until much later that I realized that it was still in existence and the oldest ballpark in the majors. I'd always wanted to visit it. I had kind of heard of the Rickwood Classic, but I'm from California, and I had no idea the next time I'd be passing through Alabama. Then, in 2022, I got my chance. We decided for the first time ever to do a destination Christmas. My parents, my wife and I, and my brother and his girlfriend, we all went to Savannah, Georgia. We never travel around the holidays because there are always these horror stories of people getting stranded or having delays in the airport, so we like to think that we are smarter than that. But you know, once in a while, it's okay to travel over the holidays. We can just watch a show on our iPad if we have to wait in the airport for a few extra hours. Flash forward to December 26th, 2022, and Southwest Airlines suffers the biggest holiday collapse in its history, and we are stuck in Savannah without a way home for at least a week. No flights, so we rented a car and just started driving. And that meant that we could make a route and drive through interesting places like Birmingham. We got to Birmingham around 10 o'clock in the morning on day two and stopped by Ingram Park and the 16th Street Baptist Church for some civil rights history. We didn't have time to go to the Civil Rights Institute, but seeing the church where four young black girls were killed in a KKK bombing and the relating civil rights era sculptures in Kelly Ingram Park across the street, it was a powerful way to start the day. Then it was time to move on to the second part of our day in Birmingham. Honestly, the real reason I was there. Rickwood Field. We drove over to the small neighborhood that surrounded Rickwood and parked across the street. My plan was to leave my wife in the car, take some pictures of the outside, get some shots of that green facade with the red mission-style tiled roof. But as I approached the ballpark from the first base side, I noticed that all the gates were open and I could actually walk inside the ballpark. Then I noticed that there was a building along the first base side that served as a museum run by the Friends of Rickwood organization. I popped my head in there, and the man running the museum said I was welcome to take myself on a guided tour of the ballpark. So I ran, got my wife, told her we would be a few more minutes, and headed back inside. We entered by walking right onto the field from a tunnel on the first base side, and I know it's a cliche, but it was like going back in time. The first thing you see looking out is that big, hand-operated black and white scoreboard in left center field. Then you notice the lights with the towers extended over the field. Then there's the former hollowed-out batting building down the left field line. And of course, the dugouts. We went everywhere. We sat in different parts of the grandstand, then down on the field. I warmed up a bit in the bullpen, went down and sat in the old-timey dugouts. Not only were they tiny, but really dug out of the ground. My chest was at feet level for the players on the field. I then noticed there was a press box, and what do you know? That door was unlocked too. They do such an amazing job bringing the past to life at Rickwood. There was an old-time microphone, beautiful checkered linoleum, and possibly an old fake lineup card. I took my pictures and headed to the outfield. I got up close and personal with the hand-operated scoreboard and got to jump up against one of the advertisements painted on the walls. They also had one of the doors in the outfield wall open so you could walk behind it and see the original stadium walls over 448 feet away. I finished my tour of the outfield by going to center field, looking into home plate, and just taking it in that Willie Mays played center field right where I was standing. That was pretty special. I went back to the museum and looked around at all the old artifacts. And then I saw something that delighted and embarrassed me. A picture of Reggie Jackson in a Birmingham A's uniform. I mean, I was delighted because I had no idea the A's had minor league history with Birmingham, and so it made visiting Rickwood Field even more special, as it connected to the history of both my childhood teams. I was also slightly embarrassed that it took me over 40 years to find out that my home team had a minor league history with Birmingham. How did I not know this? Shame, shame, know your name. Anyway, I had to buy a Birmingham A's t-shirt. But the real treat was getting to explore that ballpark on my own. When the Negro League game was announced for 2024, I really wanted to go, but being a ballpark of only 11,000 or so, I knew there was next to zero chance of me getting a ticket. So, I'm doing the next best thing. I'm talking to a fan who actually did get to go to the game. But before we talk to our guest, a quick announcement. We are looking for suggestions. You might hear at the end of each episode, if you make it that far, that we accept suggestions by way of voice memos. If you're listening to our podcast and you have anything you want to add that wasn't covered on an episode, please let us know. Or if anything has changed with the stadium since our show, send us an update. But for the most part, we're looking for additions, not corrections. Feel free to send your voice memo to tourswithjacob@gmail.com. Hey, Skyler, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, good. So, Skyler, you live in Alabama?
I do. Yeah, about 45 minutes to an hour from Birmingham, from downtown.
So let me ask you, before we get into your experience at the game the other day, what was your familiarity and relationship with Rickwood Field, being an Alabaman kind of local, as opposed to someone hearing about it through history or as a ballpark fanatic or anything like that?
Yeah, so I've got quite a bit of history with Rickwood Field. My wife's uncle was the director of Friends of Rickwood for almost 20 years. And then Friends of Rickwood is the organization that I think began in the early 90s, and as a organization that upkeeps the ballpark. There was some fear at the time due to the closing of and the demolition of Comiskey Park in Chicago, that the same would happen to Rickwood. And so this organization formed as a way to preserve the ballpark. And so towards the end of the 90s, he began as the director. Not a sports fan. He's a historian by trade, and so was right place, right time. And so he manned that position for almost 20 years. And really, he worked his tail off. And so without his work and dedication just to the job, the ballpark probably would have been torn down by now. And we would never have had this tribute to the Negro Leagues game. And pretty cool to finally see this ballpark get its flowers after all those times. So because of that, my wife's uncle had being the director, we had access to the ballpark that probably not many people have had access to. We got tickets to what was called the Rickwood Classic every year. So the,
right.
the minor league team, the Birmingham Barons, as they are now, the White Sox AA team, would always play a throwback game at Rickwood Field, throwback uniforms, that kind of thing. And so we always got tickets, and we were able to go to places that not many people could, up on the roof, into the press box. And then my wife and I, we also had our engagement photos taken at Rickwood Field.
Oh,
private
fun.
Session, private session in the locker rooms, in the on the field, in the bleachers, in the dugout, that kind of thing. I remember taking a field trip in like fifth or sixth grade to Rickwood Field and having free roam of the outfield kind of as a recess time. We could bring our gloves and throw the ball around. I remember sitting on top of the old dugout eating my sandwich, my Doritos. Pretty cool experience there. I was a paid extra in the movie 42. Part of it was filmed there. And so not really knowing who Chadwick Boseman was at the time, but having him stand, you know, 20 feet away from me was a pretty cool experience. So a lot of experience with Rickwood Field. And in 2013, we had the opportunity to, that was the year that the Birmingham Barons moved back to downtown. And so they had built a brand new ballpark in the heart of downtown called Regions Field. And so on one day, you could go to Rickwood Field, go to the Rickwood Classic, and then the next day go to Regions Field to watch the Barons play. So you had the oldest ballpark in America one day, and then the newest ballpark in America the next day. And I thought it was a big deal. But there is no press, not much press around it as far as the larger baseball world goes. And so it was at that moment that I realized that not many people respect Rickwood Field the way that I guess as a local we might.
Now, yeah. I was able to go maybe 2 years ago and walk around for free with there's a guy running a museum there, and he said just go and kind of walk around as kind of like a free outdoor museum. How long has Rickwood Field been in that kind of condition where it's become kind of a little treasure as opposed to someplace that might be falling down in Birmingham or just someplace that was old and used to be used?
I'm not really sure. Probably around the time that the Friends of Rickwood took over, so probably the '90s, and that's probably my wife's uncle that you talked to. I don't know that you could go and do that now. I mean, I know for the last few months you
right,
probably
sure,
could
sure.
not.
You were able to get tickets. I was going to ask you how you were able to get tickets, but I think you kind of answered the question. I mean, being connected to the Friends of Rickwood, that's a fantastic way to get tickets, because most of the people listening to this podcast, you know, are trying to go around and maybe are not locals and don't have a connection. Tickets for your day.
Well, that's actually not how I got the tickets.
Oh, really?
With my uncle, with him being gone from that job, he didn't have any strength. He couldn't pull any strings anymore. And so I joined the lottery like everybody else that's local. So Alabama residents had the opportunity to be a part of the lottery and get selected to buy tickets. And so
fantastic.
I won the lottery and had some trouble getting tickets. The site was crashing, as you would expect, with people getting on there as soon as they became available. And so I just selected best available, because nothing else was working. I was trying to get the cheapest tickets.
Uh-huh.
And so best available came up with one ticket, the most expensive tickets available, right behind home plate. And so I just said, you know what, screw it. I'm hitting buy
something,
and not looking back.
Something, I don't know if you're a religious man, but something higher was pointing you towards that ticket. It said that you needed to be there behind.
I'm actually a pastor by trade.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Well,
there you go.
So, all right. So you got your ticket and so you went by yourself to the game. So,
I did.
So did you drive into a game like this, you know, knowing that there's going to be, you know, it's a small stadium. How do you decide to get there?
Yeah. So there wasn't any parking. The parking lot for the ballpark that was used for it, they set that their fan zone area. And so parking was not available around the ballpark. I did see some people street parking, but that was, they really encourage you to use their shuttle system. And so we would park for free at Legion Field, which is about 2 miles away. Former football stadium of you know, Alabama used to play their football games there. UAB used to play their football games there. So we parked there and then ride their shuttles, just charter buses from Legion Field to Rickwood Field. And both free, no charge for parking or riding the shuttle. It took about 5 minutes to get from field to ballpark. On the way there, it was not bad at all. Getting to the ballpark, parking, and then getting to the ballpark was a breeze. Going back to the parking lot was not as smooth, which is fine. There's a lot of people, thousands of people trying to get back to their cars. By the time I looked at my watch I tried to time it to see how long it actually took me, it was only about 30 minutes. And so in the big scheme of things, it's not, it felt longer than it actually was.
Sure.
But that part was not ran by Major League Baseball. I think most things in the ballpark, and once you're in there, in the confines, everything was being ran by Major League Baseball, but the shuttle system was the city of Birmingham.
Gotcha. That actually leads to something that other people might want to know about, because a lot of people want to go to these kind of special MLB games, and a lot of them aren't at a place that has, you know, a home ballpark staff or maybe like home concessions or a home entertainment crew. So a lot of it seems like it does have to be run and put together by MLB. So what was your experience inside there like? Let's talk about how it was with your seats and how'd that feel being right behind home plate?
I felt very out of place.
Oh, really?
I was surrounded by baseball royalty there. Being right there in front of us, Reggie Jackson walking by right in front of me, Ken Griffey Jr., Barry Bonds, being in the presence of David Ortiz, CC Sabathia sitting across on the other side of the section of where I was sitting, Jimmy Rollins, Joe Torre. I mean, I was able to look across and see all these personalities, these, like I said, baseball royalty, Joe Torre, commissioner, Rob Manfred, and several others, Ken Rosenthal walking by, Tom Verducci, the mayor of Birmingham sitting 2 seats behind me. And he called up Michael Mays, Willie Mays' son, was there. Right. And so I was sitting right beside them, 2 seats away from them as they were having a conversation. So that was pretty cool. Derek Jeter came and sat 6 seats away from me for a few innings. And I felt out of place with my seat selection. But I would mention that the best seats are, I know you ask that question typically, and it's hard to pick best seats for a game like this, but I was front row. I honestly think I would have preferred sitting maybe 10 rows back.
Oh, really?
To have a better view of the playing field. The front row seats were a little lower than at the actual playing field. And so, you mean you're kind of here on the wall in front of you.
Right. I mean, I guess the trade-off is, I don't know, being like 5 feet from Reggie Jackson, but, you know.
That was pretty awesome, yeah. I would not want to sit further back. Like, once you get to the very back of the ballpark, of the stands, you're under that overhang. There's an overhang that goes over all the seats, much this whole second deck, I guess if you would call it that. But the further back you go, it's darker under there. There's not as much lighting if you're going to a night game, and it feels like you're further away from the field. And so the ballpark, I guess when they built the stands, the seats went back rather than up, if that makes any sense compared to today's ballparks. But again, you're there. You're at Rickwood Field, so there's not really a bad place to be. being there was incredible. It was so well put together. There was a level of respect that was given to this game, to the history that has come before with the Negro Leagues.
That all sounds fantastic, really amazing. But we need to get down to like the important things. Did you eat before you got there, or did you eat at the ball game?
I did both.
Okay. And so a place like Rickwood that doesn't have doesn't normally have concessions. What did they have available there?
So the fan zone, as I mentioned, the fan zone was a huge area outside of the ballpark, and that was treated really as part of the ballpark. So they had their concession stands were there. There is no concession stands in the ballpark itself, in its facility. But outside is where it all was.
May I ask you, was the fan zone a ticketed area?
That was the gate. So once you got through the gate, once you scanned your tickets, you're in the fan zone, and that's considered part of the ballpark.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And so the concessions, they have typical booths of, you know, typical ballpark stuff, hot dogs, hamburgers, that kind of thing, popcorn, peanuts. But then they had some local stands as well, Dreamland Barbecue, which is a local barbecue place. And they sold sandwiches, sausage, dogs, nachos. A unique vendor was Off Shucks, which is gourmet corn on the cob. They actually had an advertisement on I think the right field wall underneath the scoreboard. And so that was cool to have a local unique flavor there. But for my money, what I enjoyed the most was Eugene's hot chicken. So it's Nashville hot chicken. You can get it hot or you can get it plain. But that's one of my favorite places to eat. And if I had a last meal, that's probably it. Yeah.
And that's a Birmingham staple.
Staple. Yes. Right. Yes. Lines were, I mean, they were moving fast. They weren't having you wait minutes on end. It was pretty fast. Very well organized concessions wise. Plenty of places, plenty of stands to go to.
Great. And how early before the game did you get there? They had plenty of pregame ceremonies. What was your plan? And when you tried to arrive?
I got there about 2 hours, hour and a half before first pitch. And that would gave me some time to walk around, which I had been there the night before. So I'd kind of seen what was going on. The night before was a celebrity softball game. And so I had already been there and familiarized myself with the area. So I didn't have to go around and search in and touring as much as I did the night before. But okay. I mean, there's plenty of, there's they have an entertainment stage set up. And so bands and music and DJs up there performing before the game. They have merchandise stands that you can visit. there's a tent, a large tent that was a merchandise stand. It was set up like a trailer. You know what I mean? Like an 18 wheel trailer. And you just go up there and get your stuff, ask them for the merchandise. They had another merchandise stand set up just like that down the third baseline. So there was plenty of places to go and get your merchandise and not have to wait in a long line. And then in the fan plaza, there was historical displays. So honoring the history of the Negro Leagues, almost like you're walking into a Hall of Fame museum type thing.
Right, right.
Seeing there's a lot of things you could stop and read about the history, honoring certain players such as Josh Gibson, Rube Foster, Satchel Paige, Willie Mays, large displays honoring them. There was the Louisville Slugger Museum from out of Kentucky had a tent set up where you could hold bats from Hank Aaron, Roberto Clemente, Frank Robinson, Willie Mays. And then you could also get a custom bat made there. They had a guy that was carving, etching names into the bats right there on the spot. So that was pretty cool as well. They had an old Birmingham Black Barons bus that they would use back in the old days to ride from town to town. And so they had that on display, but you could also get on it and sit down and just kind of see what that experience would have been like from a firsthand perspective. They had workers stationed around the ballpark and specifically in front of the facade of Rickwood Field, the green facade, if you're familiar.
Yep.
Someone that was there just to take pictures. So if you and your family wanted to have a picture with the facade made, you just hand them your phone. And so I thought that was a pretty neat touch. Like they're not asking for tips or anything like that. They're just there to, their job is to take a photo. There's some other ballpark features that were not a part of the fan plaza that the MLB put on, but are unique to Rickwood Field. And that was the Rickwood Field Museum, which it's a small area, but it's part of the ballpark itself. And it's there permanently. Just some memorabilia from the history of Rickwood Field being there. Some of the players that have played there. Obviously, Willie Mays is a huge aspect of the history at Rickwood. And so walking there, and they had actually had his Hall of Fame plaque on display in there. So you could take a picture with his Hall of Fame plaque. I assume they brought it from Cooperstown.
Yeah.
And then you could buy dirt from, you know, in a little mason jar can from Rickwood Field and that kind of thing. And they had the historic clubhouse, which was available to go and for the public to go and view. They had jerseys and other memorabilia set up in there, but this is the clubhouse that they, I mean, it's brick and it's not nothing fancy, but you can go in there and take pictures of all that and see the coach's office too. They have that set up as well. The original souvenir stands that were used back in back when they used to play games there regularly. They had those set up with memorabilia and programs from old games and autographed balls and bats and that kind of thing. They had it really well set up.
I was looking at your list of different sporting facilities that you've been to. Any other, doesn't matter what sport it is, but any other venue give you a real sense of place or a real sense of history when you went and visited? What has impressed you with the vibe of it, whether it was historic or just as a sporting vibe?
Alabama football. I mean, obviously I can't be on this from Alabama, not mention it, I guess. Going there, it is absolutely an experience. 100,000 people, loud as can be, and it is rabid. And especially if you're going to games against LSU or Auburn, it is high intensity all the time. You don't want to be a fan of the opposing team wearing their colors at all.
How far is Tuscaloosa from Birmingham?
It's about an hour, maybe a little bit more depending on traffic.
So if anyone was interested in kind of like a little sports road trip, they could probably try to catch an Alabama football game and also maybe, you know, drive through Birmingham and get, you know, at least check out, take some pictures of Rickwood.
Sure.
You're right. I don't know whether it is still available for walkthroughs or tours in now that it's been renovated, or maybe now that the event is over, maybe it goes back to allowing people in there.
I imagine that it would. I mean, I know that after this, they still plan on having high school baseball games there.
Okay.
One of the local colleges, Miles College, has historically played their home games at Rickwood, and that's going to continue starting next year. And so I imagine that it will go back to kind of how it was. It's not used regularly. MLB is not going to be there on a regular basis. It's going to be up to the city of Birmingham and to the Friends of Rickwood to allow things like that to happen. So yeah, if you wanted to come to a Alabama football game or an Auburn football game, Auburn's a little bit further away than Tuscaloosa, but if you're in town, yeah, check it out. If you're just in town for business purposes, go drive over to Rickwood and they'll probably let you in.
So what we did is, because I explained earlier on the show that we drove from Savannah, Georgia, out to California when Southwest canceled all its flights. We had to rent a car and do that. So we did pretty much, I think, You know, morning in, you know, the kind of the town square in Birmingham, lunch, and then Rickwood, and then we kind of left that day. So if anyone else is driving through, where's a good lunch place? Where's it, whether it's your the chicken place that you said, or are there any other good places that they should stop while in town on their way through?
There are plenty of places to eat from all kinds of cuisines. Yes, Eugene's Hot Chicken is located. Their main location is in the downtown area near the arena, near Protective Stadium, which is the new football stadium where the Stallions play, where UAB has moved their football games. And that's not too far from the airport either. So I would recommend that. It's a smaller location. If you're looking for a burger, one of the best places to go is Back 40 Brewing Company, and that's near Sloth's Furnaces too. So right next to historic Sloth's Furnaces, and so it's a brewery, but they have one of the best burgers in the state, and that's not just my opinion. That's a well known opinion. There's several other places to eat. Depending on what cuisine that you're looking for.
Nice. So I guess as a local, and you already kind of told me, but maybe you can go to just a little more specifics for travelers who need a little help. Let's say someone does want to catch a game at Rickwood Field. They don't care what level it is. Do they have any options next year, and how would they go about that?
Check the schedules. Check Miles College.
College.
They're going to play all of their home games at Rickwood Field. Ramsey High School is cool. They will be playing all of their home games there as well. So if you're here in the springtime, say February to May, you're probably going to have a pretty good chance of catching a game there.
Do they still do a Rickwood Classic at all? Do the Barons ever play there, or do you think they might?
So they play there Tuesday night.
And they
didn't call it the Rickwood Classic this year, as MLB was putting it on, but it was a tribute to the Negro Leagues week. But I imagine that they're going to continue to do that. They have over the last few years. They took a couple years break during COVID and at the beginning of the pandemic. But I believe last year they did have one. It has been since 2013 since I've been to the Rickwood Classic.
Is there anything else about that you remember from a couple days ago that we didn't get to mention that I can slip in somewhere? Or
I would also say that if you're going to a game at Rickwood, or if you're visiting Rickwood, I think it's important to take some time to go to the Birmingham Civil Rights Institute, which is a museum in downtown Rickwood is so intertwined with the civil rights movement and civil rights, with the history surrounding Birmingham. The Negro Leagues were created. The whole reason they were created was out of segregation issues. And so Rickwood Field and Birmingham are so intertwined with that period of time, that dark history. And so I would encourage anybody who's in town or going to Rickwood to visit there and immerse yourself in that time period. And as difficult as it might be to sit through some of that history, to walk through some of that history, I think it's so important. I think it's important for us as fans of this sport. I think it's important for us as a nation to be reminded of that history. Bill Greason, former Black Baron and first Black pitcher of the St. Louis Cardinals, he threw out the first pitch. He is 99 years old, and he's currently a pastor in downtown Birmingham. But hearing his comments during the game, Ken Rosenthal interviewed him. Hearing his thoughts, he just said, he was asked about the Cardinals playing in that game and how important it was, and he said, you know, it's good because that's not how it was when I was there. He said it when I was there, we hadn't learned how to be together yet. So, but then Reggie Jackson, I'm sure some people listening to this have heard his comments that he made during the pregame, during the pregame show on Fox. So raw and so poignant to reminding us of the history. He said, I wouldn't wish it on anybody else. I wouldn't want to go back and do it again, playing there in Birmingham and being treated the way he was. And so as this game was a huge celebration of Rickwood Field. And so as a local, to see it get its flowers and be treated with the amount of respect that it is, I think we would be remiss if we did not remember the history behind it all. And so it was an incredible game, a fun game. The game itself was entertaining and fun. The festivities around it were awesome. And I'll be riding this high for a very long time, but very educational.
Skylar Jones, thank you for your experience and for your comments about Rickwood. It was great talking with you.
Great talking with you. Thank you so much for your time.
All right, that's our show. I really hope you get a chance to go and visit Rickwood Field someday. Put it on one of your road trips. It's really worth it. Special thanks again to my guest, Skylar Jones. I hope you enjoyed this special episode of Ballpark Road Trip. Until next time, this is Jacob Russell Snyder saying, I hope you enjoyed this special episode of Ballpark Road Trip.
Thank you for listening to Ballpark Road Trip. If you like what you hear, feel free to follow the show on Instagram at Tours with Jacob. If you would like to get in touch with the show, you can send us a message on Instagram or feel free to email us at tourswithjacob@gmail.com. We'd love to hear any recommendations you have for your home ballpark. You can send us an audio recording by using your voice memo app on your smartphone and emailing it to tourswithjacob@gmail.com. Please keep your suggestions and recommendations to a minute or less, but feel free to send as many as you'd like. We'll make sure to get them on the show at some point. Thanks for listening. See you next time.